The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Robin Smukler.
We like to mix it up so that you're never quite sure who you're going to get in the afternoon.
I see so.
We're very happy to be chatting to you this afternoon. We see a lot unfolding in Israel. So let's jump in. Prime Minister Lapid writes a strong letter to 50 countries regarding a vote against Israel at The Hague. What happened over there?
So let's go back to a meeting of the United Nations General Assembly just a couple of weeks ago, where many countries, including South Africa, voted in favor of Israel being taken to The Hague and for The Hague to give their advisory opinion on the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Now, this was a resolution put forward by the Palestinian Authority and just brings to the fore a tactic that has been employed by the Palestinians as well as their supporters, which is lawfare. They know that they cannot defeat Israel militarily. Our army is too strong and powerful. So how else are they going to do this? In the court of public opinion, certainly, but also employing the tactics of lawfare. Now, what this does is it means that they go to international bodies like the United Nations, like the various UN agencies, like the Security Council, the Human Rights Council, and various others, and they push through resolutions that would escalate rulings or precedent coming from other international bodies, legal bodies, like the International Court of Justice at The Hague. Now, this has been bolstered by the sham reports that we've seen coming from organizations like Amnesty International, like Human Rights Watch, all part, and we know it's part of a campaign, to try and question Israel's legitimacy as the nation state of the Jewish people. And it's ironic that we're having this discussion because yesterday we marked 75 years since the vote on the partition plan to divide what was then British Mandate Palestine into two countries, one for Arabs and one for Jews, which we accepted. We have now the flourishing state of Israel, and the rest, as we know it, is a long and difficult history. Now, Prime Minister Lapid has sent a letter to over 50 world leaders calling on them to exert their influence on the Palestinian Authority to prevent this vote from going through. We know that the preliminary vote has gone through. We don't want a final vote to go through. So he has written to everybody from the UK to France to Croatia to Peru to Slovakia to Vietnam, every letter of the alphabet. Prime Minister Lapid has written to them, and he has said, you know, this resolution is the outcome of a concerted effort to single out Israel, to discredit our legitimate security concerns, and to delegitimize our very existence. And he went on to say that the status of disputed territory, which is according to international law, what the West Bank still is and what Gaza is, depending on whose school of thought you believe, and by there I'm quoting academics, people, please don't send me the Rotten Tomatoes or the hate mail. These areas are still up for dispute, which is why we don't have a resolution to this conflict. And he said, this is for Israelis and Palestinians to negotiate between ourselves, not for the ICJ or any other legal body or any other international body to hand down and decide for Israel. So he sent the letter out, and let's see what transpires from this.
Sticking with Prime Minister Lapid, he's also expressed grave concern about the new government's influence on the army. What is happening on that front?
Well, again, we've been speaking about the IDF the last couple of days and some of the conduct of certain soldiers. And I just want to reiterate something because I've had some pretty out of line comments. I report the news. This is the news. This is the news that makes the headlines in Israel. Israel is a democracy. And if any of our national bodies are found, or representatives of those bodies are found to be not complying with their code of ethics or code of conduct or the law, it is our duty, it is our right as a democratic state to investigate and to talk about it. That is what we do in a thriving democracy. So it's not Rolene attacking the army or Rolene being anti this party or that party. I want to make that very clear because I have had some comments that are beyond the pale. This is reporting the news. Okay, cool. Now that we've got that out the way. Prime Minister Lapid, along with the chief of the Israel Defense Forces, have cautioned against political figures interfering with the army. The army will follow the orders, the rulings of the government in time, but it is not up to individual political party members, be it from the left or the right, or the center, to interfere with what goes on in the army. Now, this follows the topic that we spoke about yesterday, which was the soldier from the Givati Brigade serving in Hebron, who was sentenced to 10 days in military jail. Now, the IDF carried out an investigation about some of these soldiers who used language unbecoming of soldiers. And of course, the incident with the one soldier where he said Ben-Gavir will bring order, which has landed him in the slammer for 10 days. But the IDF have said that the soldiers exercised poor judgment and acted against expectations in their use of unnecessary physical violence and verbal harassment, and that violent behavior against a citizen is unacceptable. I'm quoting to you directly from the IDF, and it's actually for Israel a point of pride that our army investigates any kind of issue like this. And just a short while ago, our Defense Minister Gantz has said that, you know, we have to keep politics out of the army and the army out of politics. We have to ensure that, and I'm going to read to you directly from his quote. He says, I emphasize that while the IDF Chief of Staff and IDF commanders are subject to the decisions of the political echelon, they have the authority and responsibility to manage the IDF's operational and command activities. And I know, IDF commanders, you will remain loyal to your position and to the political echelon. And at the same time, you will never bow your head to a political pressure system.
And just before we head over for our 5:30 news headlines, we've been waiting for the 6th of December to come so that we can finally understand what our government in Israel is going to look like. And now we believe Netanyahu has asked President Herzog for an extension to form his government.
Well, he's expected to ask the president for an extension, which is his right to form his coalition government. Now, it is believed he's still in talks with some of his partner parties for positions, for ministerial positions and portfolios. And also, he wants to give the Knesset more time to approve a law that will allow Aryeh Deri, who is the leader of the Shas party, who has a criminal conviction for a tax offense, to be able to be appointed to a ministerial position. So it's highly unlikely that the incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu will be able to finalize his coalition by next week, but he will probably be given that extension by the president, who will allow him that extra time to form a government, because that's critical. If he fails to do so after the extension, the president will tap the next party leader that he deems fit to get on with the job of trying to cobble together a coalition.
Absolutely fascinating how the Israeli government works. Thank you, Rolene Marks. Thank you for joining us this afternoon on the Overdrive Show.